Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I am very pleased to be joined by Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds Granville and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And also here with us today, Senior Public Health Inspector Kim McCann. Kim, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Bob.
We're going to start things off with some really good news. I've been calling you the medical officer of health for our health unit for a while now, but really it was an acting position until the official word came down, but that official word has come down. So congratulations, you are officially the medical officer of health for Leeds Granville Lanark District Health Unit.
Thank you so much, Bob. Yeah, so the process is the Board of Health here it confirms me, but it needs to go to the province, and the province needs to do that little stamping that they do. And so that happened, that came down last week. It's very exciting times.
It certainly is. What is, just, you know, broad strokes, what have been your impressions? I know that you've really enjoyed settling into this role.
Absolutely. It's coming up 7 months now, and I'm really, really enjoying it. The work here is so meaningful, and the people are just like so wonderful. Every time I'm like, you know, of course it's not surprising, people are wonderful, but also I'm just it makes me feel so warm and good, and meeting people and getting to know you know, what's going on in the community. I'm getting to know the team here at the health unit. That has been really great as well. Everyone is, you know, such expertise here and also such passion. It's so exciting to be working at a place like this. And of course, you know, the work here is always interesting, exciting, sometimes a little bit complicated, but always worth it.
Have there been any pleasant surprises along the way?
Oh, pleasant surprises. I mean, a whole bunch. I think just getting to be on the other side of the emergency response phase of COVID-19 and getting back into normal programs, it's sometimes pleasantly surprising to get things that are not related to COVID-19 that have to do with public health. That's always exciting. And also, I think, you know, people seem to know me when I go around. I don't know if I would, it's lovely. But I'm not such a public person. So, you know, a pleasant surprise. It's been good to know that people are interested in the workings of the health unit and are sort of engaged in the work of public health. That's been really wonderful.
Well, I have to tell you that it has been great speaking to you pretty much every week since you came into this role. And one of the things that, you know, you always wonder about is, will this person be focused in sort of one area? But what you are doing is very much what Paula Stewart did as well. You have that boots on the ground experience and that knowledge there. You can tell us what's happening in individual locations with individual, you know, health issues, but then you also know the research, and then you know the politics behind all of this as well. And I think that that is what we need in a medical officer of health. So I just want to thank you for bringing that information to our listeners every week.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for saying that. But I also really have to say, like, that's the team, right? Like, it's a whole organization that supports me in getting the information and giving me the knowledge that I need. And so, you know, it's been an act. No, I'm joking. I mean, like, but really, like, you know, the fact that I know things, that's really the strength of the organization and the strength of the people who work here.
Well, you speak to them very eloquently. And again, congratulations. We're very happy to have you as our medical officer of health. And we look forward to this continued relationship for many years to come.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited.
All right. Now, we have got some things to talk about today. So let's get right to it. And we have to talk ticks, because, I mean, we say they're back, but they never really leave, right?
I know. Especially in our region, we really do have ticks all the time. They do abate a lot in the winter. And so, you know, when temperatures are in and around 4 degrees Celsius, so above 4 degrees, the ticks can be out and about. And really, you know, when things are thawing, those are temperatures that are conducive to ticks coming out of the snow and being in places where they can attach to people and be moving around. And as you know, over the winter we do actually have temperatures that are higher than 4 degrees, right? So especially this past winter, because it's been so unseasonably mild, we have had a little bit of potential tick activity sort of throughout the winter, but certainly now that we're in spring and temperatures are consistently over 4 degrees Celsius, this is the time to start thinking about ticks. And I know, people think about ticks in sort of the warmer weather and being in the summer and fall, but really it's any time, including the spring and certainly occasionally in the winter as well. We do have the black-legged tick, which is the tick that carries Lyme disease, which is the most common tick-borne disease in our region. That black-legged tick is all around the Lease-Grenville-Lanark region. And not every black-legged tick will carry the bacteria that causes Lyme disease, but a large number do, and you can't tell just by looking at the tick. And so if there's a black-legged tick and it's in around you, it's attached to you, then Lyme disease is certainly a risk.
Kim, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now here. One of the people who provides Dr. Lee with all of this knowledge that she passes off as her own. I'm just kidding.
It's true.
But Kim, what do we need to know about avoiding tick bites?
Yeah, we don't want to stop going outside. Being outside is very important for our physical and mental health. So it's really important that we do get outside. But if you're out golfing or you're hiking or you're gardening or cleaning up our leaf litter, it is spring. So we're going to have to be out cleaning up those extra leaves and sticks that fall over the winter. Just remember to be tick smart. So the most important thing is when you come in from outdoors, make sure you do check yourself for ticks. And like Lena said, you can't tell if a tick is actually carrying the bacteria that causes Lyme disease just by looking at it. So you want to get those ticks off as quickly as possible. If you're not sure what a tick actually looks like, we do have lots of pictures on our website. You could check that out. And don't forget that Lyme disease is a serious disease, and it should be. If you do have a tick on you for more than 24 hours, do go and see your doctor. We want to get that disease treated, or if you're seeing symptoms of Lyme disease, we want to get it treated right away because it can be a really nasty disease and it can have some long-term effects. So it's really important that we as citizens, that we do take lots of precautions to avoid getting bitten by a tick.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, it's very important that you check yourself when you come in. I mean, obviously you can't check your surroundings. You can't see the ticks because they can be anywhere. But there are some things that we can do to prevent getting bit by a tick. Can you give us some of those tips?
Yeah. For one, dress in light colored clothes. And the reason we say light colored clothes versus a dark color of clothes is the tick is like a brownie color. So if you're wearing a lighter colored clothes, you may see a loose tick that's crawling on your clothes before it's actually able to attach to your body. So you can get it off really quickly. Insect repellents work very well. Just ensure that you're using one that contains DEET or a keratin. And oftentimes we don't like to apply that to our skin, so you can apply it to your clothing as well. And in particular, your shoes and your socks and the lower body parts of your body. I always last year I went out golfing and I came home with three ticks on my legs.
Wow.
We really, every time you're outside, do that tick check. It is the most important thing. When you do come in from outdoors, put your clothes in a hot dryer and let it stay on the cycle. If there is any ticks that are loose in your clothes, the heat of the dryer will actually kill the tick. And there's lots of clothes now that actually contain a DEET mosquito repellent. So look for those clothes. They've actually been quite effective in helping people avoid ticks. And then, again, the most important thing is do the tick check when you come inside and have someone help you. Like we can't necessarily see, the middle of our back. So, have someone take a look there as well. Don't forget behind your ears and around your hairline. And check your pets for ticks. Your pets, unfortunately, can bring ticks inside with them. So do check tick check your pets. They also can suffer from symptoms of Lyme disease, so we want to make sure we get those ticks off as well. And don't just look for the adult ticks, also look for the little nymphs. They can be about the size of a freckle, and we tend to see those more in the summertime. So do check, through all the warm seasons for ticks, and if you find one, remove them as quickly as you can using tweezers or a tick twister. Tick twisters can be found at many pet stores or veterinarian offices. And then also take a quick shower when you get in. Make sure you go over your whole body. It's an easy way to remove unattached ticks. And if you suspect that your pet may have Lyme disease, or you just have more questions about your pet health, with ticks and Lyme disease, do speak to your veterinarian.
Dr. Lee, can you speak to Lyme disease transmission for us when a tick bites you, and can you tell if you've been infected?
So Lyme disease certainly causes a number of symptoms. And so people can tell. So the first thing is what we call a bullseye rash. So it's a red rash, sometimes with a lighter center. And that can start as a symptom, pretty quickly. So days, but sometimes up to weeks after the tick has bitten you. And as well, it can cause so headaches, joint pain, tiredness, some nondescript symptoms as well, and that can happen as well days to weeks after the tick has bitten you. And so these are things I think that are important to consider when you think about speaking to a doctor. The other thing to note is if you've had Lyme disease before, it is possible to be reinfected, and so having had Lyme disease doesn't necessarily prevent you from getting Lyme disease again. And the last thing I wanted to mention is ticks can actually transmit Lyme disease, or I should say, it's more difficult for ticks to transmit Lyme disease within the first 24 hours of being attached. So what happens is the tick actually bites you, and it's when it's more filled up, it's after it's had a lot of its meal, that it starts releasing some of the things that are in its own body that includes the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. And so if a tick has been attached less than 24 hours, it's less likely to transmit that bacteria into a person, or like Kim said, into a dog, or even other animals. One way to, as a quick shortcut to tell if it's been attached for 24 hours or not, is whether a tick is flat or fat. And so a flat tick, less likely to be transmitting Lyme disease, and more likely to have been attached for a short amount of time. A fat tick that's clearly fed for some time, that's more likely to be a risk.
Now, Kim, we used to send ticks in for testing to the health unit, but that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So testing ticks really was a surveillance tool versus a diagnosis tool. It's not really a good way to diagnose disease. So that's why the health unit isn't actually sending them off. And we have to remember, like, it takes us months and months to get results back. And usually symptoms show up within 3 to 10 days. It can be up to 30 days, but usually 3 to 10 days. So sending it off really adds no value to the diagnosis whatsoever. One thing you could do is if you are visiting the do your doctor or your healthcare provider, if you have the tick, just put it in a little baggie and take it along with you, so your doctor can see, what does the tick look like. Maybe your doctor could tell if it is engorged, then your doctor may be more concerned that it actually was on longer for 24 hours. Now, if you do want to know what your tick is, there is a relatively new website. It came out about maybe a year and a half ago. It's called eTick. And what you can do is send the tick off, a picture of the tick off. You upload it to this website, and they'll come back and tell you the type of tick that you are actually taking a picture of. So then you'll know that if it is in fact a black-legged tick, the risk of Lyme is increased versus, say, a dog tick, for example.
Dr. Lee, maybe you can tell us just a little bit more about some of the symptoms to watch out for.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that rash, and that's quite a classic symptom of Lyme disease. Although I should say that the bullseye rash can occur in other illnesses as well. So that's another reason to go see your doctor. It really is. Lyme disease can have that sort of short-term effect. So we talked about the headaches and the tiredness and the rash, and you can get fevers as well and joint pain. It can also lead to long-term effects, and so that can affect your heart, affect your nervous system, etc. And so all of these things are really important to think about when we think about the risk of Lyme disease and why we want people to be aware of it. There is treatment for people with Lyme disease. It is an antibiotic. If you catch it relatively early, it's a quite a short antibiotic course. For most people, but the best way to prevent getting Lyme disease is always going to be preventing ticks from being attached to you for a long time. And so that's why we spend so much time talking about identifying ticks, avoiding ticks, knowing how to if a tick is sort of on your body, knowing how to get it off of you, detach it from you, et cetera, so that prevention piece is really critical.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left here, Dr. Lee, but one of the things that we really want to highlight is the fact that the health unit does some incredible things when it comes to providing information to the public. Statistics, certainly one of the things that we get plenty of, and for a lot of people, that can be quite comforting. Now, I've seen certainly the stats on your website when it comes to Lyme disease and ticks and so on, but we are seeing a few changes there, aren't we, Doctor?
Yeah, so specifically for Lyme disease, we do actually for all reportable diseases to public health units, we post on our website, on our dashboard, the number of infections that we've identified in our region, with the exception of Lyme disease. And the reason is actually exactly what Kim was saying earlier. It is we post those numbers and we look into Lyme disease specifically for surveillance. The actual diagnosis of individuals who have Lyme disease, that's up to going to their physician to get the diagnosis and the treatment. We know ticks and Lyme disease is very, very common in our region and has been rising over the number of years. We also know that we don't get the number of, not all people with Lyme disease end up reported to the health unit. And so there isn't a lot of need or purpose to us reporting it on our website because we know it's here. So knowing the numbers doesn't change anything. And also knowing the numbers actually isn't complete, right? Because many people don't end up reported. And so for those reasons, it didn't make sense to report those numbers anymore. And so we've actually stopped reporting as of so the end of 2022, and certainly this year and into the future. That's a number that we won't be reporting. But having said that, we do actually review all the cases that are reported to us. We just don't sort of publicly post it anymore. If there's a need to communicate changes to the information, then we would certainly let people know. And this reporting is something that we can restart doing if things change.
Thank you very much for that, Doctor. And Kim, what is the best way that we can get some more information about Lyme disease?
Yeah, we have some really great information on our website about ticks and Lyme disease. So you can visit our Insect Bites and Diseases webpage, or you could give us a call at 1-800-660-5853, or you could email us at contact@healthunit.org or connect with us at LGL Health Unit on Facebook and Twitter, or lglhealthunit.z on Instagram.
Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks very much, Bob.
And Dr. Lena Lee, officially the Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. As always, a pleasure to speak with you as well.
Absolutely.
We'll speak to you next week, Doctor. Until then, take care. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Again, more information available at healthunit.org.